You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. I'm your host, Michael Remus, filling in for Drew Mandel, joined by analyst Richard Pollock. Jets came off probably one of the worst games that we'd seen here at MTS Center on Friday, and the question was, how would they rebound against the Lightning today and Sunday? So lineup changes for the Winnipeg Jets here. Toby Enstrom coming back from injury. And Andre Pavlik starting goal again, which we had some questions about. And Ron Hainsey and Mark Stewart continue to be out, and Derek Meach and Paul Postma are in.
Yeah. Enstrom's in addition, Michael, tonight obviously was very important in moving the puck, and obviously he got a big goal, which we'll talk about a bit later. But the Jets, you know, opted to go with Andre Pavlik, and he proved to be worthy of the challenge tonight, and you could certainly ask some questions about that beforehand, but he was great. He made some amazing saves, some game-saving plays, and looked good. Overall, I thought, you talk about Tampa having a coaching change. It's really one that's hard to predict, right, how they'll come out, because they had their assistants coaching tonight. And when your assistants are coaching, it's kind of like the same coaching staff, right? I mean, aside from the head man not being there. And obviously that's going to jilt the locker room. Whether or not the players are happy about it or not, we'll never really know that, at least right now. But the system was the same for the most part. Everything they were employing was basically the same. So it's not like you were seeing a team firing a head coach like Guy Boucher and replacing him with, the rumor maybe is Lindy Ruff. It's not like Lindy Ruff comes in and kind of changes everything. Nothing was changed. So Tampa didn't seem to play an overly spirited game. They didn't seem to bag it by any means. But when you're thinking what's going to happen coming into the game, I thought it could have gone any which way. And it kind of just seemed to stay the same as before. They play their same style. They rely a lot on that top line. And they gave it a good effort. There's a couple of chances both ways. This game could have gone a different way.
I would agree. Aside from a few unbelievable saves from Pavlik, Tampa really had a lot of chances, but I thought one thing both teams did today was really miss the net a lot. I don't know if it was maybe just me, but I thought a lot of pucks were missing totally wide and ringing all the way around, which is something you never really want to see too much of. The fans were into it. It was pretty loud. You can always gauge how loud they are when they introduce Pavlik. He usually gets the loudest cheer. You can tell by the True North. I thought, considering how awful Friday's game was, there was energy in the building, and people wanted to see the Jets come out hard and win tonight.
I thought the same. Actually, I thought the crowd was really into it, considering the poor play, the almost apathetic play of Thursday and Friday. Yeah, so you have to give the crowd credit for that, for sure.
So they started out Brian Little with the first goal on the board, 14:02 in. It's kind of an interesting play. I think it was Stamkos who had the puck in the slot, and Little stole the puck from him.
Stamkos came down to kind of intercept the pass on a defensive play, had the puck on his stick, and then kind of Wheeler tapped it, and Little got the puck, and then Cedric Desjardins, the Lightning goaltender, for whatever reason, was already down on his knees, I guess trying to see the puck, but it was very odd. And then when he went to make a move, because he was already down on the ground, he kind of lost his balance a bit, and the Little popped in an open net. The goaltending out there was not something to write home about by any means, and Stamkos isn't apt to turn over that puck too often, but Wheeler and Little, to their credit, I think that's really more credit than blame for Stamkos, to their credit, Little and Wheeler were quick onto Stamkos and forcing a turnover, because Stamkos was facing his own net, not the other way.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting play by the goalie. I think he was on his knees trying to see the puck, trying to see through a screen, and then he tried to move over and fell. It was the subpar goaltending that the Lightning have been getting all season.
I mean, the puck was on Stamkos' stick, and then he turns it over, but you're talking about just around the top of close to the top of the circle. Why is your goalie on his knees?
It was definitely an odd play. One thing we forgot to mention was a great 2-on-1 that the Lightning had, where the puck was turned over by the Jets at the blue line, where Stamkos pretty much had a wide open net. And if he hits the net there, it's 1-0. And I was actually shocked that it was nowhere close and he didn't put that one in.
That's to your point about missing the net. That's a huge thing. There's another chance soon after by Stamkos again that he missed on. And it was, eventually scored obviously tonight. But he could have had two or three for sure.
Yeah, Pavlik was pretty good in the third period. I actually thought in the first period the Lightning should have been on top, but I thought they outplayed them.
they had the better quality scoring chances, I thought.
But the Jets were able to get lucky by some shoddy goaltending by Tampa. Mm-hmm. Now, going into the second period, that was really the most eventful period of the game where everything started happening. And so Burmistrov got tripped in the offensive zone, which led to a power play. And so in the ensuing faceoff, the Jets are in the to the left of the goalie, or no, sorry, to the right of the goalie. And Ladd gets the puck off the draw, takes a shot, and his shot breaks Hedman's stick.
That's right.
And the puck goes to Bufflin, who takes a...
And I think it was Alex Killorn who went to try and... They tried to get his stick to Hedman, and then he's way too low in the on the box. And Tampa's a really aggressive penalty kill, so Killorn drops down to give a stick over, and the Jets smartly move the puck back to the point. There's nobody really there, or if they're there, they're late, and the puck gets through.
Nate Thompson who was giving who was giving his puck stick to him, and
who's a great penalty killer, just got a new 4-year deal, and the main reason for that 4-year deal in reality is his penalty killing skills. So so he tries to hand over the stick, and it's mayhem, and give the Jets credit, they take advantage of the mayhem and put a goal on the board.
So it's 2-0 Jets, and there was continuing some more penalties in this period. The Jets there's a scrum in the corner. Thorburn takes a kneeing penalty. Mm-hmm. And so his faceoff is back in the Jets' defensive end. There's a faceoff, and the Jets lose the faceoff. It goes back to the D on the right point, and the puck goes all the way across the ice to Stamkos, and he one-times it, which is pretty much a rolling puck. It looked like it was a tough one-timer, and it went right in. That's how Stamkos scores most of his goals.
Yeah, 7 seconds into the penalty there, and that puck trickles over, and Stamkos, not gonna blow three great scoring chances. He just missed the first two, and that's the third one there. And that's exactly how that 1-3-1 really caters to Stamkos' skills and his off wing and that shot. And so, credit where credit's due on that play, and that's a hard play to defend, and that's the reason why he's got 22 goals this year in 32 games.
Well, another reason why Tampa's power play is so good, as we said on the show a few weeks ago, you have Stamkos and St. Louis both on their off wings on each side, so you can go to the one-timer from either way.
And you have Salo, who's got a great shot at the top now. He had been a little bit injured there for a period of time, so when you put that combination together, and of course they don't have Ryan Malone in front like usual, but it doesn't really it matters, but they're still a great power play.
One thing we should mention is that the Tampa team is decimated by injuries. I mean, you look at their roster, and it's their AHL team that's playing here.
It kind of happened at the end of last year, in April too, if you remember. No Le Cavalier, no Pouliot, no Malone, no Lindback, and you can argue whether or not Lindback's been good enough to really talk about as missing him. But overall, they're certainly more decimated than their opponent tonight, and that's part of the reason I think Boucher was released, but really not the main reason. That strategy, and that goes to a deeper conversation. We'll talk about that on Wednesday night's show and on Saturday's show. But they do have a lot of injuries, and that is an issue in terms of their depth. And they're kind of a top-heavy team anyways, but they're especially top-heavy now. And so really when you're focusing on how to shut them down, you shut down the first line, which is easier said than done because they got some great chances tonight. But you shut down the first line. I mean, there's nobody there, maybe aside from Corey Conacher, who looked really good again tonight, who scares you.
We talked a bit about Ole Jokinen on Saturday's show, and him and Evander Kane lined up with Mietinen for most of the night tonight. And they...
Burmistrov had been the right side there too.
A bit of Burmistrov, but they produced nothing.
I don't know.
They had one play where Kane was able to spring Jokinen, who ended up drawing a hooking penalty, but that was really their only scoring chance.
You could argue whether or not that was a hooking penalty.
Yeah, Jokinen whiffed on the puck. Whether or not the stick impeded him at all is up for debate. But the penalties continued in the second period, where Zach Bogosian was back-checking behind the net. He got his stick up and hit a Lightning player in the face. I think it was... was in panic. I don't recall. And he's got a 4-minute double minor. But then right away, right after, St. Louis gets his stick up on Andrew Ladd. So then we're 4-on-4.
8 seconds later.
8 seconds. So 4-on-4 is really where the Jets have excelled this year. And I said to Dave, watch Buff here. So because he likes the 4-on-4. That's when he scored that beautiful goal against New Jersey and again in Florida, the overtime winner. So the Jets win the faceoff. It gets behind the Tampa's net, and Ladd and Little are battling for it. And now both Tampa defensemen converge on them. And
it's a stupid coverage play. Yeah, Victor Hedman and Sammy Salo there. Victor Hedman engages in the corner and the boards. And for whatever reason, Sammy Salo decides to do the same. When really it looks like the Jets forward is kind of moving back up the ice to protect against the rush the other way. And what happened was Sammy Salo jumps into the corner, leaving Hedman and Salo both in the corner. And even, and I don't know their scheme necessarily, but even if Stamkos, who's the player who's playing lower, he's the center, even if Steven Stamkos is supposed to rotate and cover down on Enstrom there, it doesn't seem to make sense to me that two defensemen engage that far away from the net and the center would be responsible for even the other defenseman. But it, the coverage was stupid. To me, Salo can't make that play because what are the Jets going to do from so far away? Salo can't make that read. And he leaves everybody out to dry. And even if Stamkos is supposed to have that guy, then that's a scheme issue and that's a coaching issue for another day. But as far as I can tell, that was Salo misread. And the Salo misread leads to Enstrom getting a great chance off a beautiful pass by Ladd. And Enstrom putting it top corner, looking just as sharp as before he was injured.
Enstrom really had a great game. He wasn't one of the three stars that we selected, but he definitely could have been. I thought the power play just looked completely different with him at the point as opposed to Ole Jokinen.
Yeah, control, exactly. I mean, they get one power play goal tonight, and you don't even think about the issue that they had before. So for sure, it's a huge factor.
I mean, they only had one power play goal, but there was another power play, I think it was in the second period, where it was Bufflin, Enstrom, Ladd, Little, Wheeler. They were able to work it around and have control.
For sure.
It seems like they definitely have a plan out there, and they know what they're doing.
Huge difference, night and day.
Now, there was a huge save we got to mention where Corey Konecker had a partial breakaway on Pavlik. Pavlik goes for the poke check and somehow is able to reach out with his glove and take the puck away.
Was that the end of the second?
That was the end of the second.
Okay, let's talk about that play. It's 5-on-4. The tap is on the power play.
Yeah, I think that was Antropov who took an offensive zone penalty.
Yeah, I didn't like that call at all. Antropov, to me, shouldn't have got penalized for that call. Anyhow, you're looking at about 25, 30 seconds up in the penalty kill, and the Jets are kind of making a little rush. Enstrom and Bufflin are almost at the red line on the penalty kill, and the last man back on penalty kill is a forward.
Yeah, Vander King.
And Konecker comes in, and it's a gorgeous save by Pavlik, but dear God, you can't have two defensemen not be, first of all, both of them need to be back. Never mind, both of them almost at the red line on the penalty kill. You can't have that. That's the kind of thing that, you know, you can get away with one time. You can't get away with twice or three times.
Yeah, forwards really, everyone kind of jumped the gun. You got to remember you're on the penalty kill and you got to stay back there.
And you're leading the game. Remember the situation. You don't need the goal to win.
So the Jets go into the dressing room up 3-1, and they came back out for the third period. I actually thought in the third period they really shut it down. Played a more defensive style. It was a lot of a lot of conservative play, a lot of dump and chase. Yep. They really just hoped that, you know, they played not to lose there.
And it was just fine. I mean, they played pretty well. I mean, Tapo was looking for seams, looking for different things, and the Jets really played exactly how they were supposed to. I thought they played really well. That's a credit to Claude Noel with the game plan, and credit to the players for taking out that game plan. And you know, it might not be the prettiest hockey, but it's winning hockey, and I'm sure everybody will take a win, you know, over pretty in a loss.
Forgot to mention, 5 minutes in, Eric Brewer takes a shot from the point. You know, it looked like a little harmless shot, but Corey Konecker,
who passed it to him initially, the half boards.
Yeah, gets a stick on it and tips it by Pavlik.
You couldn't really tell if the puck was tipped. If it wasn't tipped, it was a bad goal. If it was tipped, which it was, that's defensible. I thought Corey Konecker played a nice game. He's a great story. People haven't seen the feature on Hockey Night in Canada with Elliot Friedman talking about his perseverance. I would direct you to do so because it is worth watching. And he really was exciting. He created a lot of opportunities tonight. But that was it in terms of the goal scoring. And as you mentioned, Michael, the Jets shut it down. There was an odd here or there chance, kind of on a 2-on-2, where the Lightning created something when there really wasn't something there, but there wasn't any kind of 3-on-1 or breakaway or anything.
No. I thought Brian Little had a few scoring chances, and I forgot to mention there was a great play. Andrew Ladd had a backhand chance. That was in the second period as well.
Yeah, Andrew Ladd, Little, really played a good game.
They played a good
game. It was, you know, again, they're carrying the squad, and I think, you know, Little had 3 points, and he was awesome tonight. Skating and Ladd's been just completely steady and productive all year. So,
yeah, Blake Wheeler chipped in as well with two assists.
Wheeler wasn't anything special tonight. I think the Jets actually played particularly well. You know, I give the game about a grade over a B, just because they got the win. But they certainly could have lost this game tonight.
Right. It was definitely one of those games where a bounce here, a bounce there, it could go either way. But those are the games that the Jets have been winning here at home.
Well. You know, I don't know their total record is here, but they've been, I think, winning more of these games overall this year, road and home, than they were last year.
Well, if you look at the Jets' one goal games, true. I would say their record in one goal games this year has been very good, and then there are a lot of losses, or they're just not showing up and getting blown out.
Yeah. I think the numbers would bear that out.
So three stars, St. Louis, who's Tampa's best player on the ice,
Him or Stamkos,
they really stood out. Andre Pavlik, obviously the second star, who really made some huge key saves. Yeah. And Brian Little, who had 3 points and was great all night. So the next game coming up for the Jets is Tuesday in Carolina, and then Thursday will be against Pittsburgh. And next game at MTS will be Saturday back here afternoon against Carolina. And that's it for the Legal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. I'm going to remind you to follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And the website is www.illegalcurve.com. For Richard Pollock, I'm Michael Remus. And the Legal Curve Hockey Show is NHL Midweek with Illegal Curve on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. But thank you for listening, and good night, and good luck.